Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
And I am Bob.
And these are the new comic listings for November 20th, 2019.
It's so crazy. 2019 is rapidly disappearing.
Yes.
But 2020.
Coming right up.
Coming right up.
Yes. This is a huge, huge, huge week.
There were many comics.
Many books.
Many books.
So we got to kind of blow through a few of them and we'll hit the highlights.
And then we'll have a, like, this came out enormous section. But there was, there was a fair amount of mediocre books this week, but there was some highlights.
Some good standouts.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this first.
Yes.
This is Von Fries, the Batman White Knight Presents. By Sean Murphy, and the art is by Klaus Janson.
Klaus.
With, of course, Matt Hollingsworth doing the colors as per always. Great book. This is exploring the connection between the Von Fries family and the Waynes. There's a crazy Nazi connection in the past, which was hinted at in a panel of White Knight, the first series, and it is unraveled here. It was kind of meant to be part of White Knight, but there wasn't space for it. Mm. So he expanded it and had Klaus Janson do the art for it. And it's very cool.
It is cool. I thought one of the things that, like, if you're reading the White Knight series and maybe you're not like, oh, I don't know why this chapter that isn't part of it might be, I would really advise that you read the text piece in the back.
Yes.
And then also, just in general, it's a good story. Very resonant with the connections between the families, like you said, and all that stuff. But like, why?
And it's the first time that Janson has ever done anything with Nazi stuff.
They talk about that in the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
we were talking to Sean about it right before we came here.
Sorry. And and he was like, you know, it's a big part of his past. He has a lot of German guilt, and he's never done any of this kind of stuff. So this was kind of a big move for him. Mm. He and Sean are really good friends, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. There's multi-layered story, but also, like, it was just cool. I mean, Klaus Janson is awesome. He's like,
it kind of doesn't get much more comic royalty than Klaus Janson.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's like, you know, obviously most notable as the kind of an inker, but he's done a million comics as a penciler too, and Batman stuff, and he's, you know, it's great. I liked it.
A million Daredevils.
And you have many, many signed copies.
Oh, yes, and all our copies are signed.
Always. Every single one.
Yep.
I'm going to talk about my favorite book of the week.
Okey-dokey.
And I barely even read it because I know better. I know that I don't need to, like, this. I'll savor this at home is what I'm saying. Like, I didn't need to, like, plow through it. It's Jimmy Olsen. It's Jimmy Olsen number 5 of 12. We'll get to the, like, sad state of dearth that is, like, literally every DC comic. And then there's this, which reminds you of, like, you know, things are great, and like, even within this universe where all this dark stuff happens, like, you can have this really cool, lighthearted, funny book. And it's Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen number 5 by Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber and Nathan Fairbairn and others. Batman is in this. Also Metamorpho is in it, but Batman, drawn by Steve Lieber, it's one of my favorite Batman. I love artists that treat Batman as a graphic element, and even in these kind of, like, quiet conversational moments, which most of this book is, although there is a great panel of Batman's bitch slapping Jimmy Olsen.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's great. I love Jimmy Olsen. It's number 5. It's fun. The story is continuing in this kind of multi-layered unfolding where there's, like, multiple narratives that kind of go to the past of Metropolis and the future, and Jimmy Olsen is faked his death and living in Gotham, and he gets into the Batmobile in this one, and it's a Batman issue.
On the same tip and the same type of story, Dial H for Hero number 9.
This one went full Jimmy Corrigan.
Yeah, there was some Jimmy Corrigan rips in this. Yeah. There's some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rips in
there. There is, yeah.
And, like, classic Mirage stuff. Really fun. Always awesome. Dial H for Hero number 9.
Great book.
Always a great book.
Yeah, Joe Quinones, and this is written by Sam Humphries, who is also awesome. Super good book. Another one that like I just kind of save up to read at home, but cool. Doc Shaner did the cover.
Spider-Verse number 2 is out. North Perez, great book.
First appearance of Spider, what was it?
The French one?
Yeah, the French one at the back.
What is it? Spider. The French Spider-Man Spider.
The whole issue is like Aunt May with Spider-Man powers, and then there's this like pin-up in the back of when they did the like Spider persona, whatever. Yeah, it was like a Twitter thing for like 5 minutes, and there was some really good ones, and so they're apparently just like kind of publishing some of them.
Spider kills me.
Spider. First appearance of Spider. Another big book this week was... Oh, did you want to talk about that one?
Oh, no, we'll talk about that first.
Oh, I was going to say Absolute Carnage. Last issue of Absolute Carnage is out. Donnie Cates, Ryan Stegman, Mark Bagley did some art in this that I didn't hate, which is... I'm sorry, Mark Bagley. I'm not a huge fan.
But, I like Mark Bagley,
yeah,
so I make up for
it. He's a classic guy, you know. It's not bad. I just don't love it. But I do love Ryan Stegman, and I do love Donnie Cates, and I do love Absolute Carnage. I think this was a fantastic miniseries. I dug it, and it ended in a way that was... it ended the story, but then it also leaves room
for more. Opens, it ends one story and opens up a gigantic new story.
Yes. Any more would probably be spoilers.
Exactly. Ice Cream Man, number 16, is
that
out.
That was brutal.
Is always wonderful. Is there ever a bad issue of Ice Cream Man? Of course not.
There are ones that I like less. This one in particular was... a very interesting twist on someone reading their kid's diary. I would think twice about it after reading that. Although I might actually maybe not think twice about it after reading that. I don't know. Fortunately, I don't have children, so I don't have to worry about reading their diaries.
Oh my
Ice
God!
Ice Cream Man was great.
Can I just say this is my favorite book of all time?
Oh, which one is it? Oh, Punisher.
Punisher Kill Crew.
Foggy Nelson rips in this comic.
This must. I think this was my favorite book of the week.
It was pretty fun.
This is just a beautiful touchdown to a series that I kind of wondered how they could end it in a way that would be even slightly satisfying, because it started so strong, and the middle was even stronger than the start, and then I was like, well, how do you even end? And I loved the ending. I thought it was touching. I thought it was meaningful and fun. Like all of the little goodbyes were great. There's a little snapshot that they take at the end that's fucking incredible. It's just all of them standing on a severed head, on a gigantic severed ice giant head.
Jerry,
this book fucking rules. It's probably the most fun 5 issues of comics I've read in forever.
Yeah.
It's straight comic book nonsense and just like fun nonstop.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's cool. And if you haven't read it, the Punisher Kill Crew is Punisher, Black Knight, Foggy Nelson, and the Juggernaut.
The Juggernaut.
Which is a fantastic team. This is a great book. The writing is Jerry Duggan. The art is Juan Ferreira. I don't know how to say it. I don't care. I'm not trying to pronounce everything awesomely, but I'm looking for this pinup. You go ahead and talk about the next comic.
Okay, I will. If I talk about the next comic, it's going to be one I really liked.
Oh, nice.
Deadpool number 1 was great.
Loved this. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh my God, Chris Bacalo just fucking nailing it.
Is it Kelly Thompson? Kelly Thompson?
Yes, I believe so.
And she's Kelly Thompson, one of my favorite writers currently in superhero comics, definitely in Marvel comics. She wrote the wonderful West Coast Avengers, and there is a character that continues into...
Yes.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's the Land Shark, baby. Jeff, the Land Shark, is in the... He's a Deadpool ancillary character now, which is awesome. But it was just a fantastic book. I like the direction that they took it. I also like that it was kind of like it started out like Deadpool just kind of having his headquarters, you know, his shitty apartment full of crap, and... then he takes a job, and also Elsa Bloodstone is in it, which is a
This is a big monster centric issue, which I thought was cool.
Very.
I mean, obviously that's a me thing that's not going to appeal to everybody, but I do love all the monster nonsense. It's not as monstery as the other monster story that they've done. It's the monsters are a little less the center of the story, and it's more the people this time. So that's kind of cool.
Well, and there's also kind of just like an exploration of monster society.
Yes. And also the monsters are, there's a lot of little versions of old Kirby monsters from the golden age of Marvel, which I love that. I love it when they shrink down the like Gorum and all of those crazy oversized Gugum, whatever his name is. Like when you shrink those guys down and make them like kind of pocket size. Love that shit.
Yeah, but the thing is, and you say like it's you and not, but like honestly, I think almost everyone universally loves Marvel Monsters.
They're pretty fun.
They're great. I mean, who doesn't love them? They're amazing. Like just the Kirby ones, the Ditko ones, like all the Ridge. Who doesn't love that shit? And this is like not necessarily, it's not like Deadpool and Fin Fang Foom or anything like that, but it's just kind of like you're in a universe where there's a bunch of monsters, like, and this is a Deadpool story that kind of dovetails within that. It's funny. Kelly Thompson is really funny. Chris Bacalo.
Now that I know that it's Kelly Thompson, it makes a lot more sense because that West Coast Avengers run was fucking great.
Yeah, all six issues of it before Marvel stupid canceled it.
12? I think it made it. It made it much more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, because like issue 9, I think, is like the first appearance of somebody's new power set or something.
It just like ended like out of nowhere. I feel like it was only a few issues. Yeah. But yeah.
It was enough that it made me wish that it had been longer, but
it should have been longer. It was a great series, and I loved the this was cool because it wasn't connected other than like, you know, there was kind of like that thread with Jeff the Land Shark and whatever, but like it feels very similar, so it's nice because no one's going to cancel Deadpool, so you know this should last for a good run, and that's awesome to me. I'm actually going to throw Gwenpool out there too, being just a book that like I would never expect that I really would like a Gwenpool book. I love this book. It's super fun. It's well written. It scratches that ambush bug itch that I like that Deadpool doesn't really do in the, it does it in a more it's more overtly fourth wall breaking than Deadpool sometimes usually is. There's this one thing in here where she interacts with every version of herself that's appeared since her first appearance and then highlights the differences between them. That's like just the one page is brilliant. This is written by Leah Williams and Christopher Hastings and drawn by David Baldion, who is awesome. And I just really like Deadpool. Gwenpool Strikes Back, number 4. Is that?
Let's talk about this. Rye, number 1 from Valiant.
Art in this book,
the new one,
blew my socks off.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Abnett, Juan Jose Reap, I can't believe that he's back. I'm so happy to see him doing new stuff. I love this dude's artwork. He's
kind of been doing some stuff, but like this is like a next
covers. Yeah. I've only really seen him doing covers, and normally, we're going to get unplugged.
Where are this cat?
Yep. Hold on. Let me just pause this while I.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah, sorry. Cat's trying to kill us.
there's some some audio incongruity there.
Yes, but again, Rye, man, what a great book. Again, it's a Valiant book, so no one's going to buy it, but I'm glad to talk about it and tell you how good it is, even though you are never going to pick it up.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether you'd pick it up, but if you're looking for something to just kind of take a chance on and you are a fan of, I'm going to say, like, the art of Jeff Darrow, I feel like there's, like, the artist Jose Reap.
Juan Jose Reap
is pulling some next-level shit in this book.
I mean, he always does, though.
Pretty stunning in this one.
What I think did it for me about this book was I think it is the Jeff Darrow-ness of what he's going to right now, where he's softening his edges. because before he was a very hard edged, like, I mean,
I feel like he kind of was like more like painterly.
He was very gory. Like, yeah. He was always like he used it.
He did like crossed and stuff like that, right?
He was doing well. Sometimes he would do stuff for those guys, but I mean, he was doing like all those. Yeah, it was for Avatar. He was doing a lot of stuff. He did that amazing Wolverine series, which was just basically like where they just pretty much saw how much abuse Wolverine could take, and so they just made a horribly gory thing with where he was taken prisoner, and they just experimented on him for like 4 issues.
Sounds like fun.
It was brutal, but his art made it something really interesting to look at.
Yeah. I think maybe he's just kind of like when he's got the time to really like.
Yeah, man.
Spend his time. He's really great.
Hopefully this new movie universe with the new Bloodshot movie, which looks great, by the way.
Really?
Absolutely. The new Bloodshot movie looks fucking good.
Cool. Who's Bloodshot?
Vin Diesel.
Huh?
Vin Diesel is Bloodshot. But it looks really, really good. It sticks to the new reboot story arc almost exactly.
Hmm.
And it, I don't know, man. I saw the like 4 minute long trailer and I was 100% sold. So maybe that'll bring people back to Valiant. Maybe Valiant will get some payoff for all this insane amount of like.
But does it have a cameo from Spider-Man?
It does not. I bet it has a cameo from Harbinger.
Nice. That's my favorite Spider-Man. this one is Immortal Hulk. Number 27 is great. The new one. It is great. It's got kind of like a tri-narrative thing going on with like multiple narratives that kind of fold into each other as the comic goes. So pretty, they're doing some pretty smart stuff with this this Hulk shit. I dig it.
It's got a man bull that sold out humanity to the elves.
He's a prick.
He's a real prick.
Yeah. It's the guy, the head of Roxxon.
Roxxon,
get your Roxxon. Oh, the cat's going to unplug us again, maybe.
Well, we might get a second unplugging. That would be a new
Unplug 2, the Unpluginator.
Yep.
Oh, here he goes. He's putting his paws on those dials.
Yep.
He's like, which dial can I step on? I'm gonna put my foot on the dial. Nope, I can't.
He's just standing there.
Yeah, he's stuck. He's like, he wants to commit, but he can't do it. I'm gonna narrate this cat unplugging us.
I'm just gonna pause this and remove him. All right.
The cat did not unplug us, but we paused.
Yes. All right, 2099 is returning with 2099 Alpha from Marvel. This was, at first blush, I absolutely fucking hated this book. And then I went back and I actually went through it. It's a fun story. It's not as bleak as it looks. The color palette makes it look very, very dark and depressing.
It was, I only gave it one pass and it was confusing to me, although I do like the artist.
Once I actually went through it, it's not very confusing at all. It's just kind of there. It doesn't make me understand why they would, like, this beginning doesn't give me a feeling like, aha, I can totally see why you would want to reboot the entire 2099 universe this year.
Is that what they're doing? Is it a reboot?
Well, no, it's not really a reboot. It's just it's all coming back.
Yeah.
It's like a crisis event, essentially, for the 2099 universe. Amazing Spider-Man this week, or last week, or last month, or whenever it was.
There's one this week.
There was, but the one that came before this one started this, like, sort of, essentially a crisis event, give or take, that's leading into this whole thing where something's going wrong in the 2099 universe. There's a big thing that's starting, blah, 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 blah. It's affecting current continuity as well.
Oh. Speaking of books that I had to take a couple passes on, but then ended up really loving, is a number one issue from Image Comics called Heart Attack by Sean Kittleson and Eric Zawadzki.
Yikes.
This is a near future, I'm going to say Blade Runner-ish, except for Blade Runner happened in 2019, so I can't say that anymore.
No.
It's not that it's like Blade Runner, but like just that type of, just far enough in the future that it's futuristic, but other than that, it's identical to life now.
Yep.
And it is, basically, I feel like this is like, if you had a chance to get in X-Men at number one.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, like, it's there's a totalitarian kind of police force state. Yep. And there's people who have essentially mutants, but yeah, they can't, obviously they can't call them mutants, they call them something else. And, there's this one guy, and then I don't know. I dug it. I feel like in order to really sell it, I kind of have to talk about sort of what happens, but yeah, I don't want to give away.
It's a little too easy to give away the plot.
Basically, there's a guy who's a mutant and he knows he's a mutant. And he doesn't understand why his power is so dumb, because it's pretty dumb. And then something happens where he realizes what his power actually is, and it's not quite so dumb.
It's not quite as dumb.
But then it just basically turns into like the fugitive kind of story, yeah, where they're on the run.
There's a world that fears and hates them.
Yes. It's very X-Men.
Incredibly X-Men.
Unbogged down with like 47 years of...
Yep.
Continuity, and it's different enough from X-Men. It's also about like kind of like celebrity culture a little bit, and media
totalitarian culture.
I mean, the cops look just like Judge Dredd. you know, it was fun. I dug it. It's from Skybound, so it's a... you're a fan of the Skybound
imprint,
it's a book you'll want to check out.
And speaking of things that aren't bogged down with years of X-Men continuity, X-Men, Marauders number 2.
Yep.
This book is fucking great.
I actually really did like this Marauders.
This was so good.
Yeah.
The stuff that they're going for in this book, I am all 100% on board for. All the new X-Men stuff has been really fun, and I'm really, really looking forward to where they're going with it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an adjustment for me with Captain Kate Pryde as this like kind of like booze swigging like pirate captain all of a sudden, where she's always been kind of like a different type of character. It's interesting. I mean, it works within the context of the series. The series is fun. It's probably... I don't know. There's so many new X books now that I might be forgetting one, but this is definitely one of the
standouts.
Yeah.
Another one that I like very much is Excalibur.
Yeah,
And Excalibur is out this week.
Right there.
Excalibur number 2. This is directly connected to this issue of Marauders as well.
They all do seem to be connected, because like the stuff that happened in X-Force is referenced in Marauders.
Yes.
So they're running a pretty tight ship.
They are definitely...
Continuity-wise.
Yeah, and this is... Because this is the story of Rogue being taken after the events of the first issue. Now she's on the ship with Captain Kate Pryde being taken to Avalon.
Mm.
So, yeah. Interesting stuff. I'm pretty stoked.
I actually forgot to read X.
It's great. Okay, I'm going to talk about another one of my big favorites this week. A book called Olympia.
I also really liked this book.
This is obviously a love letter to Jack Kirby in a lot of ways.
Including having quotes from Jack Kirby featured prominently within it.
But it's one of those... It's a story that's been told a shit ton of times. Like, Plutonia is the obvious... Mm. Like, it's essentially... loser kid, middle of the woods, and he's a comic fan, and his superhero idol falls from the sky from another dimension.
Yes.
Followed quickly by some of his villains from the other world. It's very much like, you know, it's Plutonia, it's 1985 by... Mark Millar.
Okay.
Was that 1985 or 1984?
I honestly very specifically don't read Mark Millar comics. I
fucking
so
loved
I have
that
no
book.
Idea.
That nice. Book was so good. It was basically a kid who was in love with the Marvel Universe, and he starts realizing that the villains of the Marvel Universe are in his backyard.
Oh, weird.
From some sort of dimensional whatever. It's very similar to those two other titles. Fun. Just a really fun book. Very interesting art style, very atypical art style. I liked it a lot.
Hmm. Also, I'm noticing that there's a druid lullaby in the back of this Excalibur comic.
Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah, no, Olympia was really fun. There's some great humor in it, and I'm sorry if I didn't listen to a lot of what you said. But
reading Excalibur.
I was literally reading Excalibur while Tristan was talking about Olympia. Olympia was great. I really dug it. It was fun, and also it's like crazy huge comic for $3.99.
Yeah,
like
it's a
comics value of the week.
Yeah, another great book this week. Hazel and Cha-Cha Save Christmas. Hmm. Gerard Way, Scott Alley, Tommy Lee Edwards, and John Workman. It's an Umbrella Academy tie-in. Yes. It's just a one-shot. It's really pretty.
Tommy Lee Edwards is
really fun.
One of the best artists. Like, I mean, Tommy Lee Edwards is a guy who does comics, like, who doesn't like have to. He's like a Star Wars like storyboard artist, and like but he's been in doing comics since the 90s, that I mean probably longer than that, but it's, like that's when
he's one of those guys that if there was a Vertigo right now, he would have a mainline title and he would be changing the world, but instead he's just kind of like, oh, I'll do this.
He did a Question series quite a while ago.
Oh, wow.
That was really awesome art-wise.
It's just, his style is so fucking cool, and he has so many crazy ideas, and just the difference in his little, his style, his stylistic choices are just so crazy.
It's cool because it's like, it seems like really kind of sketchy on the surface, but then you like get into it and you realize that like he can literally like draw like photorealistic art.
Anything.
Like, I mean, if you ever seen his Star Wars art, it's like the best Star Wars art you probably ever seen. And he's just amazing.
No,
like,
when he
amazing.
When he chooses to be sketchy, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
And then he does like crayon drawings in the middle of it and like pastel style.
Which and Hazel just, and Cha-Cha really kind of lend themselves to
obviously,
that.
Obviously,
yeah. Cool, like assassin characters from the world of Umbrella Academy. This is like the story idea is Gerard Way, but it's really written by Scott Alley. So very similar to some of the Hellboy stuff that Scott Alley wrote where. I have to cough. I'm sorry.
Don't do it. Oh, God. That's the end of it.
I'm sorry. I tried.
Oh, my God. Did you try? So, yes. Yeah. No. Great book. I'm going to move on.
Yes.
Because there are so many books.
Yeah, there's still a lot.
King Thor number 3. Yes. This is the Return of the God Butcher storyline.
Mm-hmm.
If you enjoyed that. You're going to like...
Also, if you enjoy the artwork of Isad Ribic.
Yeah, Isad Ribic doing this. So cool.
Yeah, it's good. Art's really good. It's really
good.
It's King Thor. It's the Jason Aaron wrapping up his Thor.
And he's back on the space shark that shoots lasers out of his eyes.
I mean, minus being pulled across the heavens by a chariot of goats.
Yeah.
That's really the best form of travel.
Fair.
And the goats are in Punisher Kill Crew, so
I mean, yeah, I mean,
Tooth Gnasher and...
If you're going to be pulled by goats, you're going to want to do it in the battle van. That's way cooler.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, here's a book that you hated.
Well, yes, sort of. I hate the idea that the book exists more than I hate the actual book itself.
I understand.
I lumped actually all of these books together. So.
I didn't hate this book. Supergirl number 36.
Is it Supergirl 36 or is it Superman Batman?
It is Supergirl 36.
Okay, because it's the same. There's a Superman Batman comic that is literally the exact same story as the Supergirl comic.
Yeah, it's true. I was actually very confused because I knew that Superman Batman is obviously in that universe. This follows you. If you are following this, you're going to want to read
right.
You read Superman Batman first yeah, and then Supergirl next, because, well, I mean, you're already going to know just by looking at the cover of Supergirl. So it's going to be a little late to know that she got infected.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is like they've, you know, what's happened. So like even the thing I didn't like was the Superman Batman comic. This Supergirl comic actually is better than that comic because it like, there's like a storyline that obviously got interrupted by this whole editorial deciding that she needs to look like a dumb clown.
Yes.
And and also like once she becomes infected, how do her clothes get infected? I'm sorry. Like that was like the biggest thing for me. It's like when she gets
infected by a Hot Topic.
She got blood infected to become a scary Joker. And somehow when that happened, her costume changed. And I don't fucking get it. Like, I can accept that she got blood infected by scary Joker juice. But, like, why did it change her clothing? It makes no sense.
It's very special Joker
juice. That's just the one step too far for me. Either way, there's a lot. So, like, there's a lot of infected jokery comics. There's one called Scarab, which is like how Blue Beetle became a scary clown.
Yep.
And there's Superman Batman, which is how Supergirl becomes a scary clown. And then there's Supergirl, which is also how Supergirl became a scary clown.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, no, that was all the scary clown. Then there was a Nightwing villain, and then there was a Teen Titans villain, and yeah, then there was a Justice League villain.
Yeah, the Teen Titans one is, I mean, just in general,
Teen Titans one was fine. It's just fine. A Lobo.
It is, except it's just another one of these instances of DC just going for this, like, seemingly dark for no reason kind of thing.
Yeah, we talked about this in the store where, like,
It's just kind of sad. It's not really, there's just a malaise, a kind of like not really. There's very little hope in these DC books.
No, there's none in them. And in addition to that, there's like meta no hope in them, because it's like, I want to believe that the editorial people are like, we're going to do this and then lead to this thing that's going to be cool. But instead, you know, it's just like the coolest idea that these people can come up with is to turn everyone into jokers, which whatever. You know, if it's your thing, I'm sorry to shit on it. It is definitely not my thing. And it makes books like Jimmy Olsen and Dial H and the Superman books that seem to be sort of not affected by this, like, just, you know. And also Batman was out this week, another Batman. I think there's like one every week now, but it's like, they're really just like rushing through this Bane takes over storyline, and it's like literally just like the whole comic is just like Batman carrying Alfred's corpse around and then punching walls. And it's just like, come on. I mean, it's like, that's cool. Like, it's beautifully drawn. Michael Janin drew it. It's Tom King wrote it. He's great. You know, it's like, but it's, there's something not great about this just malaise of and then even this, like, the Flash Forward comic also came out this week, number 3, and I actually had some hope for this. Like, I know I'm a fanboy, but like Arsenal, Speedy, whatever, is like one of my favorite characters. And the premise of this from the solicit was Flash is like running through the multiverse, and he's on this redemptive arc for how he's going to become a hero again, blah blah blah, which is in itself like completely unnecessary, because they didn't have to make him a murderer in the first place, and also that only happened like 3 months ago. But he goes to this planet where everyone's a vampire, and it's like there's a Justice League of vampires. Like, why would you call yourself a Justice League if you're vampires? I don't, like, that alone is kind of dumb. But then Arsenal is there in this other world where he's fighting vampires, which I thought was like, that's a really great rebranding of this character. He's known for shooting arrows. He gets a bunch of wooden arrows. He's really good at killing vampires. Like, let's have him be like a Blade type character. And then, like, when you read this and you see what they do with it, I'm just like, fuck, man. Like, I want to like this, and you're just kicking me in the chin. But and then there's also a facsimile edition of the famous My Ward Speedy is a Junkie issue of Green Lantern Green Arrow, which is awesome. All ads and all, newsprint and all, they reproduced like kind of how shitty the comic originally looked. All the original ads are in it. It feels like a book from that time, and there's a really cool Green Lantern reprint with Tomar Ri, my favorite Green Lantern, in the back. But yeah. You always have all the answers, Green Arrow. What's your answer to that? And it's like Speedy with a needle shooting heroin. and his answer to that is, my Ward Speedy is a junkie.
The answer
which
is...
Which isn't really an...
It's not really an answer.
It's not an answer. It's really more of a statement.
Yeah. I feel like that's not really a good answer.
I like that Tank Girl Forever number 4 is out, because the art is really good.
The art is
really
great.
Is all that need be said.
Yeah, if
about
you
it.
If you like Tank Girl, this
I love
is,
this series. It's great. And
this series is super fun. It's exactly like
great artist. What's
it
his
reminds
name?
Me. Who is this new guy? Drawn and lettered by Brett Parson.
Brett Parson is my favorite Tank Girl artist.
Yeah,
minus Jamie Hewlett.
Obviously minus Jamie Hewlett.
Who
but
isn't drawing it anymore?
But yeah, man, this is like a real story, which sometimes sometimes Tank Girl does not do.
Yeah.
They don't like a real story. It's still loosey goosey, but it's like, it's not as loosey goosey as like the Deadline stuff. It's like cohesive plot and kind of crazy.
Yeah. But written by the original writer and also kind of just like, if you like Deadpool, if you like Gwenpool, if you like any, like none of these characters would exist
without Tank Girl. Holy shit. I mean, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No question. And yeah, exactly. It just reminds me of the old Dark Horse era, like Odyssey and Apocalypse, those ones.
Yeah.
Those were Dark Horse, right? Not Vertigo.
They might have been Vertigo, but I can't remember.
It was
one of the two.
I think it was Dark Horse.
But either way. Yeah, no. I mean, I honestly have no idea. There were only like a few Vertigo ones. It was weird how they jumped around from publishers. Once in Future, number 4, is out. Featuring one of the most brutal last pages of a comic I've seen in a long time. I love this book. Kieran Gillen, Dan Mora, Tamara Bonvillain. Bonvillain.
Tamara Bonvillain of the Spidale fan.
Once in Future is great. It's great.
Yep, it is great. And another thing that's great is Money Shot number 2.
I dig Money Shot.
Yeah. Tim Seeley, Sarah Beatty.
Yeah.
AKA Nacho Sarah of internet fame.
Yeah.
This is just crazy nonsense and fun.
It's fun.
That's yours. Sorry.
it's a futuristic storyline where a team of scientists creates pornography in order to finance their scientific endeavors. And it involves a lot of funny alien sex jokes. It's funny. it's really well drawn.
It's a good excuse for funny alien sex jokes.
The art is by Rebecca Isaacs. Yeah, Rebecca Isaacs, and colored by Kurt Russell. Not kidding.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. Finally.
It is Kurt Michael Russell. Oh,
excellent. You know what's surprisingly good? Strike Force.
Talk about Strike Force, because I did not look at it.
It's really weird. It's strange that this book is as good as it is. I mean, it's just a fun story. It's a Doom story. It's a weird team. I don't know. It's a weird team. It's Blade and Angela and like Spider-Woman. It's just a very strange group of people.
Winter Soldier also.
Winter Soldier. Yeah. Weird group of people to put together, but it's fun. But I mean, Teeny Howard's writing it, so you know that there's going to be something to it. It's one of these books that Marvel knew was going to be a hard sell, and so they gave us like free copies of the first two issues, basically.
Huh.
Like they doubled our order without
That's
us.
That's weird. You
asking.
Know what I think could have made it sell more is if they called it Avengers Strike Force.
If they
which
called
it essentially is an
anything
Avengers book.
Other than Strike Force. I think they were worried because Avengers books have been selling for shit lately.
Well, maybe.
So I think they were afraid to do that.
Maybe. That seems weird. Because there was a time where putting Avengers on it would be like putting X-Men on it in the 80s.
It was more like putting X-Men
Remember
on it
when
in
there
the
was
last
a
10
book
years.
X-Terminators?
Sure do.
And they were like just teenagers who didn't kill anyone. They just were called the X-Terminators for some reason.
I do.
They were just goofballs. I actually really liked those characters. Boom Boom, that's where she came from.
Yep.
And Rusty. Rusty Ventures first appearance.
Amazing Spider-Man 34.
Yeah.
It's out. It's the big tie-in to the 2099 series.
Yeah.
The Mask number 2, I Pledge Allegiance to the Mask number 2 is out, and again, it's still really cool. It's, you know, a much more violent, crazy version of the Mask than you've seen. It's a lot more the art style is much more modern than you've seen, and there's a lot more craziness in it than even the original Mask, I think.
It's crazy. Like, it's more of a horror-y kind of, like
is.
The Purge kind of, like.
Right. I mean, it's there's a lot more seriousness to it, so the crazy wackiness is in an even starker just juxtaposition.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, if you like the Mask, you're probably going to like this. It is a... I feel like it's just a more modern take because of the art style and all of that stuff, but it's great.
Yeah. Patrick Reynolds is the artist. I'm going to briefly talk about The Weatherman, number 5. A series that I really like. It has an alternate cover by Andrew Robinson, who I love and wish did more comics. The cover is amazing. And The Weatherman is, honestly, has evolved into like a completely bonkers sci-fi, like, warfare. It's crazy. This one has like giant monsters and mechas and like just it is. And the art by Nathan Fox is amazing. It's written by Jody Lahoop or Hoop or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to try. Colored by Moreno Dionisio. It's just berserk. This comic is berserk. And I really love it. I love the coloring. There's like a guy who just like, oh, I don't know. There's all kinds of crazy shit in it. It's kind of like almost, I mean, it's not like Akira, but it's like visually, it's like not that far afield from some of the craziness of the visuals of Akira, with just like weird flesh stuff and like just fucking nuts. It's
nice.
Crazy comic. Fun.
Nice. Amazing Mary Jane number 2 is out.
Mm.
Continues to be a book about the amazing Mary Jane.
She's amazing. It's amazing that she is an actress.
Yes. In this, she is an actress. She is acting in Mysterio's version of the events of the Secret Six. And the Secret Six have found out about this, and they think that it's stupid. And so they come to murder him.
Oh.
And probably her.
Probably her. Aquaman number 4, one of the year of the villains that I haven't hated. This is Aquaman versus a crazy mecha Black Manta amped up by the powers of evil. Basically just Black Manta gets like a fucking Voltron suit and just starts blasting everybody. It's fun. This is Kelly Sue DeConnick and Robson Rocha, and I don't know. It's cool. I liked it. Liked it.
The Marked number 2 is out.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah, it's David, you know, Hine, if Brian, you like the first one, you're gonna like this one. It's Brian, it Heberman. Wasn't my cup of tea when it first came out, but
beautiful art.
Yep, beautiful art. Great, interesting. Great art. You know, interesting story. I mean, a story I have heard before, but it's got its own things. It's got its own things going on.
Yeah. My favorite cover blurb of the week is Loki number 5, which has the cover blurb, Loki is a cowboy now. And indeed, Loki is a cowboy now inside this comic, which is by Daniel Kibblesmith and others. Andy McDonald, David Curiel, also says, also Wolverine. Loki is a cowboy now, also Wolverine. Pulling out all the stops. I don't remember Wolverine being in this. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. No, he is.
Oh.
He sure is.
Snick-de-Magoo.
Snick-de-Magee.
Snick-de-Magee. All right. Tony Stark, Iron Man, The Ultron Agenda, number 18.
Yeah.
He is no longer a... Well, actually, I can't say what he is. But some stuff goes on.
He's an Iron Man.
He's... Okay.
A man of iron.
And a new miniseries starts for the Glow series. This is Glow versus the Babyface.
It had cool art.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on in Glow, so I can't really say much about it other than
they're
it has
wrestling.
Cool art. Yeah, it's lady wrestlers.
Rob Guillory's Farmhand, one of my favorite books.
Yes. Sorry, it ended up at the bottom of the pile.
I don't know why it's. I don't know why it's at the bottom.
No, it was because I was flipping through an enormous stack of books and
also because
to pull it out.
I am not caught up with Farmhand, and I like it so much that I don't want to give it short shrift. So I want to read it. I want to sit down and read the trades. And it has been the first 4 issues were some of my favorite comics of the year that they came out, which was last year. Yep. And it's great.
It is great. I actually didn't read this one specific issue, but the last issue that I did flip through was crazy good.
And Fantastic Four, $20.99.
Yep.
They are...
$20.99 and it up.
They are wacky.
Yep. Then, in addition to that, also is a comic book from DC Black Label, which is called The Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage, which I will say, if you are a fan of the original Question, not the original Question, sorry, that's Steve Ditko, the original DC Question, Dennis Cowan, he's drawn it. It's Jeff Lemire writing, Dennis Cowan, Bill Sienkiewicz, Chris Sotomayor. It is a straightforward 80s style Vic Sage Question.
Yep, it is indeed. I thought it was a little on the confusing side, but again, we do have limited time to read these things. So
exactly.
I did not really, especially
on a week like this.
On a week like this, everything is given short shrift. Yeah, and so you have a listing of all the trades that came out this week?
I do. I do have a listing of trades. Let's start with the In the Mountains.
At the
Mountains of Madness.
At the Mountains of Madness number two.
Yeah, this looked cool.
Yeah, the first one was phenomenal. It's one of the best treatments of At the Mountains of Madness ever. H.P. Lovecraft, obviously.
It's a manga. You read it right to left. If you pick it up in the store and it doesn't make sense, you're reading it wrong.
That can be said of pretty much any book in the store, though.
Not necessarily. But yes, for the most part. The Creeps, number 22 magazine. The Creeps.
The old Warren-style horror black and white, Archie Goodwin horror-style comic. It's so good. If you love the old eerie and creepies, you're going to love The Creeps.
Yeah, I do really like The Creeps. That's my style of horror mag.
Yep.
Eric Powell's The Goon, Bunch of Old Crap, an omnibus, volume 2.
Omnibus.
Then you have The Hulk, which is called Breaker of Worlds Trade. So this is Immortal Hulk, current volume. Then you have The Punisher, which is called Street by Street, Block by Block, and apparently features Black Widow, Moon Knight, Night Thrasher, and the Ghost Rider.
Is that one of the epics? Must be.
I don't know. It doesn't look
it's the most recent
volume of Punisher. And then there was a fun looking Jaime Hernandez. Is it Jaime Hernandez or is it Jaime?
You got me. I always said Jaime.
Yeah, I always said Jaime too.
I think it is Jaime now that you mention it. I think you're right.
I honestly don't know. And I'm sorry that I don't. But this is called The Love Bunglers. And it looks Love and Rockets-y, obviously, but it's a self-contained graphic novel, which features a write-up by Adrian Tomine. So
nice.
If he likes it, you know it's good, because that guy's awesome. Scooby-Doo, Doomed, Mystery Inc.'s Craziest Team-Ups Yet. So Scooby-Doo Team-Up trade. If they are promising the craziest team-ups yet, you know those team-ups are crazy, because they teamed up with...
Swamp Thing,
the Doom Patrol,
the Spectre,
I don't know, whatever. Anyway,
and they were fun. They were written.
The book is
great. They've all been written by people who actually know and care about the characters that they're teaming them up with, and actually honor that storyline and do fun things with the Spectre, or do fun things with like. Any of these, like the Doom Patrol, they made really fun references in Doom Patrol.
Yeah, didn't they do a Metamorpho?
There was a Metamorpho one. There was the Metamorpho Says No joke that was in that one.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I love that
amazing.
Comic. That is my favorite comic of all time. Just by nature of having to pick one. That's the one that
really?
I had to pick.
Metamorpho Says No.
So it's Justice League of America number 42. And the reason it's awesome is because the Justice League are like... This is during like the 60s where they're like the Justice League are like cool, but like they're not cool. They're squares. And they're like, hey, there's this new hero on the block, Metamorpho. Let's ask him if he wants to join. He's great. He's got all these cool powers. Let's ask him to join. And then he, of course, says no. And they're like, well, why do you say no? And he's like, because I don't like being a superhero. You suck. And then they have this battle where they fight a thing called the Unimaginable, which is literally like a scribble. Like it's like basically like it's like a Mitzix Pitalik.
Right.
It's like a genie kind of thing, but it like is drawn as if it is just a bunch of random jagged lines.
It's Doodle Bob from SpongeBob.
Yeah, sure. I don't know that one, but yeah, it's goofy and I love it. And at the end of the thing, he's like, "Yeah, I guess I'll be like an honorary member, sure." And then he splits. Like, I just love the Metamorpho comics.
I always loved the cover of the one where Black Lightning calls everyone Jive Turkeys.
That's a spiritual successor.
He also says no. Yes, he's also like, "I'm not interested in you guys because you are Jive Turkeys."
Yes, I do and not want to hang around with any of you Jive Turkeys. And he is. Yeah, they are all Jive Turkeys.
With the exception of Green Arrow, they're all Jive Turkeys.
No, Green Arrow is the jivest turkey in the Justice League. Oh my God, that guy's trying way too hard.
Okay, he's trying too hard, but his heart's in the right place.
His heart is in the right place. yeah. So then we also have, what is this? November?
Coming Fire by Sam
Image Hain. Comics.
No.
November. The girl on the roof.
Oh, yeah, the
it's Spine Out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a Matt Fraction's new book.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's in the most irritating format in history. We sold out of it last week or the week before when it actually came out. It's issued in three hardcovers as an ongoing or as a limited series.
And they're all really tall and won't fit on any of your bookshelves.
Not into it, but
it's like
whatever.
Wednesday Comics, where it's like, I love Wednesday Comics, but like, where are you gonna put that book? Like, you have to put other books on top of that book and put it on flat on the bottom of a bookshelf, because like, there's no, otherwise it's like you have to like frame it. Okay, so next is Nightmare Before Christmas, Zero's Journey, book 2. Next is Invader Zim, volume 8. Does that say 8?
I think it 5? Says 8.
I don't know. It's an Invader Zim collection. And then you have a bunch of Spine Outs, so bear with me on these Spine Outs, because they're harder. Star Wars Adventures, Smuggler's Blues, going for the Glenn Frey reference, and then Flight of the Falcon. And so it looks like you restock some Star Wars Adventures trades, then you got a Disney Frozen trade, the Hero Within, then you also have Lumberjanes, The Shape of Friendship. Then you also have Beautiful Darkness.
Well, yeah, that's a reorder.
All right. And then here's the star of the week, Little Bird hardcover.
Oh, my God.
You got that Little Bird hardcover. If I had the scratch, I'd have brought it home with me because I loved that Little Bird series. That was great. Ian Bertram is awesome. Written by Darcy Von Pulgeist and colored by Hollingsworth. The book is Little Bird. The trade is out in hardcover. You want it because it's great. And then you also got Deep Red magazine, which is gross.
Yeah, it's reprints of the old Deep Red magazine from the 90s, I believe, is when that was coming out.
The cover is like a thing with like its entire face ripped off and its tongue hanging out. It's gross.
Yeah, it stopped publication when the when the editor in chief, he died a few years back, and so that those were almost lost to time. But somebody found the originals and started doing these reissues of.
Oh, it was like just someone that like did a zero number of copies. Yeah. And
it's a classic underground horror magazine.
With a cover like that, it would have to be self-produced.
It's not
like,
exactly.
It's not like I can't imagine any like even like for like a Fangoria or something like that. That is a gross.
Borders
cover.
Is not going to put that on their shelf.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
But we do. We put it face out in the kids section because we hate humanity.
It is like face out, like facing the window. Like,
sorry, everyone.
Like, you got it. But I mean, that's your store. That's your brand. You got that horror
brand. Yeah, and so there are those things.
You got that faceless brand.
You got that faceless brand. What else? Is there anything else going on? No, I don't think so. I don't think we got anything else going on.
I had a show last night, but you missed it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Missed it.
It's all right.
Yeah, so that's about it.
Good.
I heard it was great.
Oh, nice.
I actually heard really good things about that show.
Cool.
And yeah, that's it. So thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Actually Comics. You can buy your books from us at CoastCityComics.com. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Nice. Bye.
Good night.
one wish. I'd wish it's all the way.